Today we're going to talk about an issue that many Christians have about the Sabbath day, that seventh day that people get stuck in, that feel that they would be going against God if they do not worship on Saturday. Saturday was a huge issue for me. I struggled with it for so long, and today it's so simple, and I realize it because God has given me knowledge, and it's set me free. And I would like in this message to be able to do the same for others who may struggle with this seventh day issue. I realize that no matter what a man believes, as long as you believe in your heart, that whatever you do will be right. So there's nothing wrong with worshiping on Saturday, but I want to give you the liberty today to understand that whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Sunday, that worship and freedom and liberty to worship Jesus on any day has been given to us. So today we're going to study the Sabbath day rest. So let's pray. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that, Father, the freedom we receive today from this message will give us the liberty to be able to worship You in spirit and truth 24/7. And whatever day we choose to worship on, Lord, it'll be a day that we do it with our heart, because You look at a man's heart. You don't look at the legalism of the days anymore. We got liberated from that. Jesus fulfilled all that. But today, Father, we want to be able to worship You in spirit and truth on any given day. And I pray that the Scriptures bring to light the freedom that we have in Christ to do just that, Father. Speak through me. Holy Spirit, have Your way here this day in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to look again at this seventh-day Sabbath issue that many people struggle with. And we're going to examine the Scriptures today to get our answer. You don't need my advice or my opinions or anybody else's opinions, and especially some of the denominations out there that say that if you're not worshiping on Saturday, that you're not part of the family of God. We want to take God's word for this, and that comes through the Scripture. So let's look at it in its entirety from Genesis to Revelation to get a proper perspective on this. So we will begin, and we must begin, by just defining the terms. The Hebrew word for rest is nuah. And it means victory, salvation, state of well-being, absence of activity, presence of security. It means to lean upon. It also means heaven. Now, the Greek word for rest is katapsis, meaning ceasing from labor or a fixed abode. There's actually another Hebrew word, shabbat, and that is used for the word rest as well, and it describes God's rest, like He did after the 6 days of creation. So we see actually two meanings here. One is a literal meaning referring to the cessation from work, and another is a spiritual meaning, meaning victory or salvation. Okay, the next definition that we need is for the word Sabbath. The Hebrew word for Sabbath is Shabbat, and it means rest. It also means the seventh day of the week. Now there's a Greek word for Sabbath, and that is sabbation. And that also means rest. So we see here the words Sabbath and rest being linked together. And we know that rest means salvation, victory, absence of activity, and the seventh day. So definition-wise, we have literal meaning and we have a spiritual meaning that cross over. So let's make sense of this by studying all of this in context. That's the only way that we can bring truth to our hearts, by studying these words in context. So let's look at the first scripture. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, which read like this. By the seventh day, God completed His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all of His work, which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, and He sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work, which God had created and made. The word here, Shabbat, is used, and it means cessation of God's labor. Cessation of God's labor, of the work of creation here. Okay? Let's look at another scripture, Exodus chapter 20, verses 10 and 11. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord, your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and He made it holy. Now the word nuah is used here. Man was to cease from his worldly pursuits, or his works. This was the law. They were legalistically not to work on Saturday, this seventh day. They were to devote it to God. The Pharisees would later, through legalism, impose an increase in human regulations on this day and create a burden on the people. They made the Sabbath an end instead of a means. This is what Jesus came against. Only God makes the rest possible. Let's look at Joshua 1:13. Joshua 1, verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest, and He will give you this land. Let's look at Exodus 33:14. And He said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Obviously, God is concerned with the motives of our behavior. So let's look at the reasons why, or the religious significance, this seventh day rest was observed. Let's look at Genesis 2:2-3 again. By the seventh day, God completed His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all of His work, which He had done. Verse 3. Then God blessed that seventh day, and He sanctified it, because in it He rested from all of His work, which God had created and made. This connects observance of the Sabbath day with the fact that God rested on the seventh day, and after 6 days of work, He called everything that He created in 6 days good. But of the seventh day, He sanctified it, and He set it apart. Why? Well, perhaps it could indicate that the Sabbath is an invitation to rejoice in God's creation and to recognize His sovereignty over all things. All things. This is spiritually significant, extremely significant, because we are to take that day and recognize Him as sovereign creator. In fact, Elohim means creator, sovereign, and full of power. Let's look at Deuteronomy 5:15. It says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This connects the Sabbath with deliverance from Egypt. Thus, every Sabbath, Israel is to remember that God is an emancipator or a liberator. The Sabbath day, or the seventh day, also was a social ordinance to provide a literal rest for hardworking laborers the other 6 days. It was an agent of freedom from work. In other words, freedom or deliverance. The Sabbath was also a sign of God's covenant, which of course Jesus is now for us. Read Exodus 31:13 with me. But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Let's look at Ezekiel 20:12. Also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. So what does all this mean for the Christian? Well, in regards to the covenant just discussed, Jesus Christ fulfilled it in Himself. Through Jesus, we enter into God's own rest. We have freedom, deliverance, rest, and recognition of God's sovereignty all in Jesus Christ, all that the Sabbath used to provide. Jesus now fulfills that. Look at Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, all the way through chapter 4, verse 10. Listen to this lengthy passage. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation, and I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you with an unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering His rest, any of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest. Just as He said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all of His works. Wow. So this rest is no longer just a day of the week. It is actually a person. It comes through belief. It comes through trust in Jesus Christ. He is our rest. We enter the rest through Christ. We don't enter it through a day. We don't enter it because we come to church on Saturday. That doesn't earn us salvation. We can't jump that high. It's through Jesus Christ. He is our rest. He has become the Sabbath. He even told the disciples, I am the Sabbath. So we need to make that transition from the legalism of going to church on one day of the week to entering into a 7 day a week worship and life-filled relationship with Jesus Christ. It is Jesus. He is our Sabbath. I believe the early Christians were on target when they connected the day of rest with the remembrance of Christ's resurrection, which was on Sunday. He is the one who gives true freedom. Freedom from Egypt, freedom from worldliness, freedom from self. This all comes through Christ. Let's look at Romans 14, verse 5 and 6. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not, for the Lord he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. Let's look at Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's look at Matthew 12, 8. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. What is Lord of the Sabbath, folks? He is Lord. That means that He is Lord of all. He is Lord of the Sabbath day. He is in charge. He defines what it means. He makes the law for the day. He is the one who is in charge of the Sabbath. And if Jesus would go out and pick grain, if Jesus would go in and heal people, if Jesus would do these things on the Sabbath and said He's become our Sabbath, then I think we should take lordship in that and say, okay, we recognize You, Jesus, as our rest. You as our deliverer. You as our salvation. This is where we must come to in our mindset, to understand that the Sabbath is not really a day for a Christian anymore. It is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. He is our rest. He is our Sabbath. He is our emancipator. He is our deliverer. He is that which we are to provide. He is our Lord. The Christian church substituted the first day of the week for the last day of the week as the day of worship and rest, as we just said, in commemoration of the resurrection of Christ and His lordship over this Sabbath that I just talked about. They unloaded all of the detailed rules and regulations that rendered that Sabbath day a day of legalistic bondage that was supposed to have been kept holy. Now you may ask, what's right or what justification did they have to do this? Well, on the first day of the week, Christ arose from the dead. The disciples, before Jesus' ascension, assembled on Sunday when Jesus appeared to them. Let's look at John 20:19. So when it was evening that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, the day of Pentecost occurred on the first day of the week as well, and that's the day of new beginnings. Paul preached at Troas when they met for church on the first day of the week. Let's look at Acts 27. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. Now, I'm not going to preach to you till midnight today, but you know, we preach on Sundays. We preach when we're gathered together. We preach when we're commemorating Jesus and worshiping Jesus. And these guys were doing it on the first day of the week in celebration of the new covenant through Jesus Christ, where he fulfilled the old covenant. So let's start looking at things the way Jesus looks at things. The Christians were to put aside and save also on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16:2. It says, on the first day of the week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections may be made when I come. It was the Lord's day, his resurrection, that John actually received the revelation to write the book of Revelation, Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. Once again, folks, you have to decide if God would be more concerned with a religion centered around a specific day than with an individual around a relationship with the day maker. Galatians 3, 1 through 9. You foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "All the nations will be blessed in you." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Let's look at Galatians 4, 6 to 11. Because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. However, at that time when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which were nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things, to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. Verse 11, I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. Folks, he says right there that we are not to go observe those days and months and legalism and law and all of that kind of stuff when we've received Jesus Christ through the Spirit of the living God. We have deliverance. We have emancipation. We have the opportunity to worship 24/7. We have an opportunity to enter His rest every single day of the week. We have a relationship that's an ongoing 24/7. We don't have to follow legalism. We don't have to follow the law. We have to have freedom, and we have to be convinced in our own minds, because if we believe we're sinning against them, then you need to go to church on Saturdays. If you believe that you're supposed to and that's what your heart is telling you, then that's what you need to do if you don't have the freedom. Because God is going to judge you based on what's in your heart, not what's just sits there in the law. So, folks, we're just trying to tell you here today, Christ has given us the freedom to worship 24/7 on any day of the week. We don't have to go back to the days and the months and the years and the law and all of that stuff. But if you believe in your heart that that's the right thing to do, then of course do it and follow your heart. But here I pray that the Scriptures are showing you that that's not something that Christ demands from us in our new covenant with Him, for He is our rest. Let's look at Colossians 2, 8 to 17. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him you have been made complete, And He is the head over all rule and authority. And in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a, hello, Sabbath day. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Quit looking after the Sabbath and the Saturday worship as your way of salvation and freedom and something that you have to do. Christ is the substance. Christ is our rest. Christ is our way of entering into the very relationship that God has created. Not the Old Testament legalism and law, but Jesus Christ. Is there anything wrong with the law? May it never be. It's good. It's the character of God. If you want to worship on Saturday, go for it. But God looks at your heart, and if you want to worship on Sunday, go for it. If you want to worship Monday through Sunday, go for it. But the bottom line is, Christians established the seventh day, the first day of the week, to be the new day of worship, because it's all about Jesus. It's all about resurrection. It's all about deliverance. It's all about emancipation. It's all about that rest. You are to observe a day of rest from your labor. You know, pick it, you know, Monday or Tuesday, whatever. God says it's good for you. Sabbath was made for man. Sabbath was made for man. That means it's good for you to have a day of rest. So have it. But it's not exactly that specific day that we have to do, because Jesus Christ has removed that burden from us. Again, every man has to be convinced, though, in their own mind. But again, even with the new covenant revelation from our Lord, you've got to decide what you believe to be true in your heart. For what you believe and you believe and do as unto the Lord. Last few scriptures. Romans 14, 1-6. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. I hope you're getting this. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord's able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. Thank you for writing this, Paul. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. Folks, what he's saying here is pretty simple. If you believe in your heart that, you know what, you can worship on Sunday or any other day of the week, and you do so as unto the Lord, He takes that as your worship, and He regards you just as much as a person who will worship on Saturday. He says, do it as unto God. Be convinced in your own mind. It's all about a relationship. It's all about what you are to Jesus Christ at this point. Don't go back and get trapped into Old Testament legalism. Stay with Christ. Be convinced in your own mind. And if that's a Saturday, then go out Saturday. But I'll tell you what, Sunday's a powerful day of worship, and many saints and many great men of God have accomplished much on this day of the week in celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure there's been many that have done it on Saturday, and I praise God that people are doing it Monday through Friday too. But be convinced, as this scripture says in your own mind. Let's look at verses 12 to 14 of the same chapter. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, then to him it's unclean. And finally, verses 22 and 23. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Wow. Verse 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Praise God. I have been set free from any type of legalism or guilt when it comes to having to worship only on Saturday. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the requirement, and if I enter into relationship with Him, which is His rest, then I can have victory 24/7 and I can worship 24/7 unhindered by worldly opinion and legalism. Set aside a day of literal rest. It's good for you. The Lord knows we need it. That's why He said that the Sabbath was made for man. But enter into a 7-day spiritual rest in Jesus, and I'm telling you, it will bring you liberty, it will bring you freedom, and it will bring you life. So folks, be set free. Worship God in spirit and in truth. We do it on Sunday as a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus and His presence in our life. There are those Seventh-day Adventists that will worship on Saturday because they believe that that did not pass away and that is still a statute in effect. And, you know, if that's the way they believe, then so be it. Let them worship Jesus. They're still going to go to heaven because in their heart they believe that what they're doing is right, and let no man judge it. But folks, it's not the only day. And it certainly gives us liberty to worship on any other day, because if you start saying that you're going to have to obey that particular Sabbath day law, then you have to live by the law and you've got to obey them all. And there's hundreds. And I'll tell you what, there's no one on this earth that I know that can do that in a perfect way. So I would transfer over into the rest that Jesus gives us, having fulfilled that, so we don't have to. So be set free, have liberty, worship the Lord Jesus in spirit and truth, and be convinced in your own mind to worship on the day of the week that you have chosen or that God has given you to choose to worship. Be blessed and go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.